Welcome to Coffee Break with the Dancing Housewife. My name is Antoinette Daytalk, and I am your host. Whether you are a competitive ballroom dancer, a social dancer, or simply someone interested in learning more about the fascinating world of ballroom dance, this podcast is for you. So grab yourself a cup of joe and join me for Episode 5, What Judges Think When They Watch You Dance with Dana Edwards. Do you ever wonder what judges are thinking when they watch you dance? Joining me today to help answer that question is ballroom dance judge Dana Edwards. Dana is a World Dance Sport Federation and USA Dance adjudicating official, invigilator, scrutineer, and a USA Dance chairman of judges. Dana is a retired NDCA open professional competitor in all four styles, but she found her main success in professional American smooth and rising star American rhythm. She coaches many amateur and pro-am couples and has been the recipient of multiple top teacher and top studio awards. She is a highly skilled and sought-after choreographer, having created hundreds of showcase routines and award-winning formation team routines for over 20 years. Dana has managed her own dance studio, Invitation to Dance, in Hilliard, Ohio, since 2001. She is the head coach for the competitive dance sport team at Ohio State University, is co-owner and organizer of New World Dance Sport Competition, and has served on the American International Dancers Association National Committee since 2016. Dana, thank you so much for taking a coffee break with me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right, we only have 15 minutes, and you know I can talk, so I'm going to jump right in. And the first topic, or the first question I have for you, is about tanning. Yes or no?
Yes.
And tell me why. Do you have any specifics why?
For me, it depends on the level of dancer that you are. As you're moving out through the levels, so should your appearance.
Do you have a favorite method?
I prefer to go into a tanning salon and have it done there.
Any bad tan stories?
Actually, it kind of goes with the fishnets. You see somebody with dark hose, dark fishnets, and the whole top of their body is tan.
All right, so let's go to the fishnets. So yes or no to fishnets on that topic?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think even if you think you have good legs, just because you can go without fishnets doesn't mean you should. To me, it doesn't look finished. I don't know how you feel about that.
I agree. And I like to think of it as if I'm going to a play and I'm going to see Phantom of the Opera and the actor comes out without the mask on, my opinion of that actor in the play would be different.
That makes sense. Yes or no, man buns?
I'm actually excited for men right now because they can do different things. They can have ponytails, man buns. I prefer hair not down, but it's right. A time where the man can actually give a look on the dance floor that is different than maybe they would wear every day.
Well, I'm going to have to tell Pat that, but you know, I don't think I'll ever get him to grow his hair more than a quarter of an inch, so I don't think that's going to happen. All right, ready? Yes or no, tattoos?
I am in between where Kimberly was talking about that in-between judge. I don't prefer tattoos that I can't make out.
So
going to have a nice tattoo, don't distort the lines of the tattoo with your costuming or vice versa. Back in the day when I was a coach and I would take my mostly follows with tattoos and I would take silver eyeliner and I would paint their tattoo to look more like body art.
Oh, wow.
And rhinestone it because back in the day, the old world judges did not like tattoos.
Right.
So I would either cover them with flesh or I would dress them up.
Oh, that makes sense. So they just need to be just like you want our steps and our technique to be readable. You want our bodies to be readable too. So
absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to know what you think about underbutt. And for those listeners who did not hear the Kimberly Mitchell episode, which was the first episode of Coffee Break, I'll explain. Underbutt is really something that just women have to deal with. And it's when your leotard underneath your dress or your skirt rides up and like the bottom half of your butt kind of sticks out. It's basically a wedgie. So At Nationals 2 years ago, a bunch of kids got pulled off the dance floor and invigilated because their leotards were riding up. And one of the girls said to me, but oh, our coach said we should never pull our panties down. So that's my question for you. What do you do if it happens? I mean, some people just have that kind of body. I actually do. And I do wear fishnets, so I don't worry about it all that much. And typically my dresses are longer than like the younger kids. So what's your thought on that? Do you fix it or what do you do?
I would definitely just walk closer to the edge of the floor and fix it. Maybe not the middle of the floor where everybody can see, but
right.
Try to do it a little more secretively.
Okay. I'd
rather see that than it continue to ride.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair. And that's pretty consistent with everybody that I've talked to. So I'm going to start digging it out in the corner of the floor. All right. All right. Now let's pivot a little bit. I want to talk to you about your top five pet peeves regarding infractions committed by dancers, both on the dance floor and off the dance floor. So I've been told that you're never not being judged. The minute you walk in the door of the ballroom, when you're putting on your shoes, when you're talking to your partner, when you're sitting and watching, when you're cheering, when you're in the on-deck circle, and obviously when you're on the dance floor, the judges are watching you. And so I'm curious to know, first of all, if that's true, in your opinion, is that true? And secondly, what are some of your pet peeves, things that dancers do that actually sort of detract from your ability to, like, say, mark them?
Personally, what you do off the floor, as long as you're not distracting from the dancers that are competing, that's totally up to you. I start judging the second you put your foot on the floor.
Okay.
Don't walk out with a slouch. I'm looking at you.
Okay.
So as soon as you step on the floor, I start judging your appearance and your actions.
Okay.
As for my five pet peeves.
Okay. Let's start with number five, which is like your least egregious pet peeve.
Well, actually, that is not knowing the rules of the competition before you participate.
Okay, so give me an example.
Everything is printed in the rule book. All of the right steps that are allowed. So it's as easy as Googling the competition and looking for the rules.
Right. All right, so what's pet peeve number four?
So just understanding that the invigilator is there to help everyone have a fun, safe, and fair competition.
Oh,
and that we are
yeah
not pick on you.
Right. Right. As a person who has been invigilated a lot and actually moved to open because of that, probably prematurely, to be honest, I never really got offended by it. And we were always like, oh my gosh, we're at the mercy of these people to help us. And so we actually, back in when we were dancing Syllabus, Trevor Luff lived in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and we're in Atlanta. And he actually came to our studio and helped us fix our routines. You know, once you get to Nationals, if you haven't fixed that, you get dinged. I mean, you can be dropped a position and stuff. So it is important. So I actually appreciate it. I have a funny story about that. We had gotten invigilated a whole bunch of times, and our good friends, Tom Harada and Kenna Jackson, were also dancing Syllabus. And Kenna said to Tom, you need to go up to that judge over there, that official, and find out why we didn't get one of those yellow pieces of paper. The detox have gotten like four. Why didn't we get one? And so he went up to, I think it was Sandra Fortuna, and she said, you don't want these, trust me. Okay, so pet peeve number three.
Pet peeve number three is bullying or fighting on the dance floor.
Oh yeah, that is bad. Number two.
Moving quickly through the levels and not enjoying learning to dance.
Okay, so I have to tell you, that is, we probably got under your skin then, because we moved. Well, we've been dancing for 8 years now. Uh-huh. And I think, to be honest with you, I think we moved to open prematurely, simply because of that whole, you know, we were breaking so many rules. And
right,
we actually, you know, Trevor was getting ready to move back to California, and we didn't know like Sammy and Carita were close by. We were newbies. I think it was maybe our second year or third year in USA Dance, and not have to worry about whether or not you're breaking the rules. And so that's what we did, but we definitely took our lumps when we did that. But So we probably got under your skin. But anyway, that's that story. That's why it happened, in case you were wondering. All right. So finally, drum roll. Dana Edwards, top pet peeve.
Knowingly dancing down when?
Oh, yeah. Let me segue a little bit onto something else. What are your thoughts about former professionals? I approach competition very differently. I mean, Pat and I just want to keep getting better. We right. define our success by like how we make people feel when we dance, and knowing that we've done our best, and also just trying to be better each time we're on the floor. I mean, it's great to win. Don't get me wrong. I'm a competitive person, but I don't go home and sulk for 5 days if I lose. But I'm just curious. So do you feel like that's also dancing down?
No, I think the petitioning out of professional to amateur is something different. I don't think of that as dancing down, but I don't think that they should go into a syllabus level. So I think they should be at least into, you know, free champ levels.
Right, right. And with that being said, I would love to see you at USA Dance offer some kind of competitive opportunity for professionals who are aging out of being able to mm-hmm. continue to dance at a high level professionally. Because, you know, many, many professional dancers decide they want to start, you know, if they're married, they want to start families. If they're not married, they might want to open dance studios. I mean, I don't have to tell you how difficult it is to run a dance studio, or they become comp organizers or judges. And it's really hard to practice enough to be able to compete at a professional level. I would love to see USA Dance do something like that. Lots of like USA Swimming does, and figure skating, where they have like a master's category for professionals. So do you know what I mean? So you're in a different phase of your life and you can't practice as much as you would like to, and you can't really compete with the youngins anymore, but it still is a competitive opportunity. I think that's a real revenue source too for USA Dance. I know a lot of pros who would love to continue to compete, but it's just too difficult.
Actually, there is in the rule book that USA Dance is allowed to have professional masters and syllabus divisions.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. All right. Final pivot. Actually not final. I'm going to have two more pivots.
Okay.
First one, an interesting fact about you that folks in the ballroom community might not know or might be surprised to learn is that you worked on an animated film for Disney. I find that fascinating. So yeah, can you tell me about that?
It was a lot of fun. Actually, it wasn't as glamorous as it sounds. One of my students that I was at a rec center had a animation production house here in Columbus, Ohio. And they were doing the foundation animation for the Disney movie. And I went in to this little room with a partner I was with back then. And we had to dance like farm animals would dance, following the storyboard of the movie.
Oh, wow. How interesting. So do they animate over film and video of actual, like, live action people doing things? Is that how they get
their
animation?
Arts. I don't know if that's the whole, you know, concept, but they video.
Oh, wow.
It took about 3 hours.
Oh, how cool is that? That's very interesting. How do you get into something like that? Also, other jobs that I'm interested in is, who names the nail polish and the lipstick? I want that job. Okay.
That is a good job.
All right. Final pivot. I know New World Dance Sport is coming up. It is over Memorial Day, I believe. Yes?
Yes. Thursday, May 25th through Saturday afternoon, the 27th.
Are you doing workshops? Or a camp in association with that?
Not this year. This year we're doing a nightclub night with Team Match.
Oh, fun.
So, and it's 80s theme. So it's going to be a lot of fun for that.
Oh, that is exciting. Can you tell our listeners how they can get more information on the competition?
Yes. NewWorldDanceSport.com.
Okay.
That'll give all the information that you need.
Okay. When does registration close? I know it's open.
Yeah, it's the beginning of May.
Okay.
So we have plenty of time. We do drawings for free dances every two. So if you register on O2CM,
okay,
then, we will do our ducky drawings, and we draw a little rubber ducky, and somebody will win two free dances.
Okay. Well, Dana, I just want to thank you again for agreeing to take a coffee break with me and letting me pick your brain. That's all the time we have for today. I promise my listeners that I'll try to keep the podcast to 15 or 20 minutes. So, but I'd love to get you back sometime if you're interested.
Yes. And just one more thing.
Sure.
The movie was Fox and the Hound 2.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. So if you're a Disney lover, go ahead and pull out your Fox and Hound 2 and know that the barn animal dances were all based on Dana Edwards.
Yeah.
And her partner. Thanks for tuning in today. If you're enjoying Coffee Break with the Dancing Housewife, click the share button, leave us a review, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And until next time, keep on dancing.